Turn your Bible to Habakkuk, if you would, chapter 3. I'm going to read one verse there and then preach a while. Maybe why don't you turn also, you turn to a second reference, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Habakkuk chapter 3, if you've got a Scofield reference Bible, is page 957. And I wrote that down in my Bible, in my notes there, so I'd be sure to find it easily and not look like I don't know where it is. But anyhow, so if you have a Scofield, if you don't have a Scofield reference Bible, it'll be somewhere around 950, probably near the end of the Old Testament. Why don't you stand for the reading of the scripture? Don't think you have to do that, but you've been seated, and I want you to be awake for the beginning of the message at least. Habakkuk chapter 3, and I don't know how to pronounce the last word in verse 1, so we'll start in verse 2. Well, you don't either, so you know, I guess if I just read it authoritatively, you'd say, oh, that's how to pronounce that. He's a doctor, he must know. But anyhow, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. I want to preach on revival today. And if you want to turn back in 2 Chronicles 7:14, verse that we usually associate with revival. It doesn't include the word revival, but we usually associate that with it. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the fact that we have a copy of the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God in our hands, that we can read it and know what you said, that we can base our life on it. Help us to do that, we pray. Pray you'd guide my mind as I teach, my lips as I speak, give clear thoughts and a clear presentation. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts while I speak to ears. Bless and anoint the words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. And I'm going to get a swallow of this to help me. I'm sorry, but that'll help. You know, the word revival, we talk about it a lot. Everybody, you know, we use the word a lot in church. If you have a prayer meeting, you take prayer requests from the floor, commonly. Many churches, somebody will say, please pray for revival and or pray for revival in our country or something like that. We talk about it a lot as Baptists. Don't think about maybe a lot exactly what it is. The word revival actually is not in the King James Bible. Thought about preaching, you know, years ago. I thought I ought to preach a message on revival. And so I thought, you know, let me look up the word. And the word revival is not in the King James Bible. The word revive appears 8 times in 7 different verses. One verse list uses it twice. So the word revive is in the Bible. Read that verse in Habakkuk, revive thy work in the midst of the years. You know, God's in favor of revival. The idea of revival is throughout the Bible. You know, you get 2 Chronicles 7:14. Famous verse that heard a message on it last Sunday morning in Memphis, Tennessee. And Brother Bob Hooker preached on 2 Chronicles 7:14, 4th of July. We need to, you know, repent and realize what's wrong and pray and so on, and God will revive our nation. And again, that the word revival is not used in that verse, but the idea is there. You read the book of Acts, you talk about revival at all. I mean, the book of Acts is full of people getting saved. It's full of what we would call, man, they're having a revival down there. God is really working. That happens all the way through the book of Acts. But exactly, anyhow, what is revival? I did look up in Webster's 1828, the definition of the word revival. And there it says, meaning number one, to return or recovery to life from death or apparent death. Sometimes you might say somebody was drowning and they pulled him out, and he wasn't breathing, but they gave him CPR, mouth to, back in the day, mouth to mouth, or whatever, and they revived him. You know, or their heart stopped beating and he got the paddles and they put them on him and he revived. He came back to life from death or apparent death. We use it that way. Sometimes it's called, second definition they gave was return or recall to activity from a state of languor or a state of blahness. Just, you know, I mean, you're just kind of laying around doing nothing. But you get revived and, man, I'm going to get back with this again. Been just going through the motions, but now I'm revived and I'm going to hit it hard again. Something like that. Return or recovery from a state of neglect, oblivion, or obscurity. I don't know. I kind of summarized a lot of that by saying a return to life and activity from death or neglect. And, we need revival. We need to get revival in our nation. It's certainly appropriate to pray for revival in America. They've neglected God and neglected so many things that they ought to get. America needs revival. Our churches need revival in many churches. And this church is certainly a growing, going church. To me, it looks to me like the attendance here this morning is noticeably larger than it was a year ago. Or a couple of years ago, God is blessing the work and blessing the outreach, but you could use more. Every church could. And far as that goes, you get in a lot of churches, you get out that, I mean, there's nothing going on. You know, if somebody walked in, they'd tell them how to get saved, but beyond that, there's just not a whole lot happening and not a lot of outreach, not a lot going on. Our churches need revival. You and I need revival in our own lives, a return to life and activity from death or neglect. We need revival. A lot of times, again, you say, anybody got prayer requests tonight? A lot of times churches do that on Wednesday nights or something, or men's prayer. Who's got prayer requests? People will say, let's pray for revival. And but exactly, you know, I mean, it's a good thing to pray for. What are we praying for? What do we want? What do we mean when we say, let's pray for revival? Sometimes you use the word in Baptist churches today talking about a one-week meeting. Used to be a three-week meeting or something. You know, we're having a revival down there. They're having Billy Sunday or somebody like that in. They're going to have a revival. It'd be hard to have Billy Sunday preach for you today. But he, as evangelist, been in heaven for a long time now. But it'd be hard to have him preach today. But we're having a well-known preacher in, or a young man that has the power of God on his life, and we're having a revival this week. Now, I'm for those services. They've kind of gotten cut back from several weeks to 1 week to 3 days to 2 days or whatever. But anyhow, we're having a revival. Sometimes Brother Fugit will go out and preach a Monday, Tuesday in the church, and they'll call it a revival. And special meetings and trying to get people to come in. And I'm for that. But I don't think when, you know, we say, well, let's pray for revival, we're not talking about let's pray for the meeting they're having next week at the church. Sometimes we'll use the word revival when we're talking about a great service. Sometimes, you know, you've been somewhere and there was just something really special about the service. Feels like revival broke out. I've been in a few services like that in my life where I could look back and say, that one was different. I mean, I always go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I go to church a lot of off nights, go to chapel every day during school year. And I always ask God to speak to my heart and God to work and so on. But sometimes, you know, there's a service where there's just a any moving of God is supernatural, but you feel like that one was different. Revival broke out there. And there was something special, and God's hand just really moved. And so many people got right and so on. And again, those are wonderful services when they happen. I don't know if you can schedule them or whatever, but I think when we say, let's pray for revival for America, we're not talking about a single service. What are we praying for when we pray for revival for America? I'm afraid some people, when they pray for revival for America, they're praying for political conservatives to get power. I want to make sure we uphold the freedom of speech and uphold the different, Second Amendment, uphold the, different amendments here in the Constitution. And I want conservative judges appointed and praying that abortion would be outlawed again and praying for, all the new gender stuff and how mixed up that is. And I think sometimes when people pray or say, let's pray for a revival in America, what they're really thinking is, let's move our country more conservative and get back to traditional Christian values, which America was founded as a Christian nation. That's a different sermon, preached that some last week. But it was founded on Christian values and honoring the God of the Bible and so on. But I'm for conservative values, and I think you ought to vote according to Bible principles. I think you ought to vote, and I think you ought to get involved in that. But when we say, when I pray for revival for America, I want to go beyond a political victory. I want to go to spiritual things. I think the revival that I'm looking for in America, and I'd like to challenge you to work for and help with, is a place where there'd be a lot more people getting saved. I mean, if there's going to be a revival, there ought to be people getting saved. If there's going to be a revival, there ought to be an increase in holy living. I mean, back, I mentioned evangelist Billy Sunday, preached decades ago, and, cities would change. Bars would get shut down. And, there just wasn't anybody going to them anymore. But you're starting off with people getting saved. You're talking about a revival in holy living. You're talking about an increase in church attendance. You're talking about more prayer going on. I mean, if there is a spiritual revival, which I think, at least in church, that's what I'm talking about, a spiritual revival, not talking about putting the paddles on a body and reviving the body and say, well, he revived. That's a good thing to happen. But the spiritual revival is going to involve people getting saved, holy living increasing, church attendance growing, more people praying, extra prayer meetings, the kind of thing that we had on the surface, even around surrounding 9/11 back in the day, and where churches were open all over day and night. People would wander. I remember we opened our church there. People would come in off the street at lunch hour just to pray that weren't hardly even Christians. But there was an increase of desire to pray. We're talking about revival in America. I'd like to see more churches started. I'd like to see a devotion to God growing. I'd like to see a church like this in every city, every rural area, or several of them, where people could come in and get saved. I'd like to see an old yellow bus, or red, if you happen to be from here, running down every country lane and alley, every city street, picking up kids, bringing them to church. I'd like to see more people getting saved. Now, if that happened, that solved the rest of our problems. If people got saved and started living for God and started holy living and everything else, I'd like to see a national revival in America. Sometimes I look at that and I think, man, I don't know. I'd like that to happen, but I don't know if it can. I mean, it could, but I don't have faith to believe it, and I don't know what to do about it. So I bring that back sometimes in my life and think, well, what about a statewide revival? If I can't get a national revival, Kentucky, to a great extent, Brother Fugit has worked for a few decades now, we're going to see a statewide revival in Kentucky. Commonwealth Baptist College, far as that goes, was started as a burden to plant churches in the state of Kentucky, to take Kentucky young men and train them to plant churches in Kentucky. Brother Fugit's worked with state government, worked in other areas, started numbers of churches. Your church is doing the same kind of thing in Indiana. Now, our college vision, the fact that we're here, we have students from here, we're recruiting from here, sending students out to plant churches here. And everything. I mean, it's expanded beyond the state of Kentucky in terms of the burden of the college. But Brother Fugit's burden still is the state of Kentucky. I mean, he's got a burden for the nation, but he'd like to see revival in our state. And your church and other churches like this here are headquarters of that kind of an emphasis in Indiana. I lived in Indiana 23 years, and I've got a burden for this state too. Have been involved in that kind of thing. I'd like to see a statewide revival. And I've got a little more hope of there being a statewide revival than I do of seeing a national revival. I feel like maybe I could do something more with the state. I mean, just talking realistically. But on the other hand, you go to Kentucky and the people, when I moved to Lexington, the medical doctor I was seeing, my regular doctor, said, oh, you're going, I said, this may last visit. He said, oh, because I'm going to Lexington, Kentucky. And he said, oh, that's a great place. I did my residency or something. Some of my medical training there was in Lexington. If you like horse racing and bourbon, it's a great place to go. And I tried to witness to him some. I really had. I'd been going to him for several years. I tried witnessing to him. Jewish man, didn't want anything to do with it, and just didn't want to listen, but I tried. And giving him some tracts and tried talking to him. So anyhow, I guess he did. I said, well, yeah, I'm a Baptist preacher, so I'm not into that. You know, we're not into that. And he said, oh, you're not? I don't know what Baptist he knew, but anyhow. I mean, yeah, you want to see a revival and you start churches and everything, but on the other hand, you still got the bourbon and the horse racing. Which, anyhow, so if I'm not going to see a national revival and I'm not going to see a statewide revival, what about a revival in my ministry? I started thinking, well, God, I may not be able to influence a national revival. I don't think I can. I'm going to pray for it. I think I'm commanded to pray for it, but I don't really necessarily have faith for it. Not sure I really even have faith for a statewide revival. But God, I could work for revival in my ministry. Say, what do you mean, Brother Jordan? I said, okay, I'm Executive Vice President, Commonwealth Baptist College. That's my ministry. I ought to be able to, start praying for revival at Commonwealth Baptist College. That's what God put on my plate. Not on your plate. It's on my plate. I ought to be praying for students that aren't saved to get saved, if we have those. Don't often, but we do have a few. Certainly ought to be praying for holy living. Ought to be praying that God would burden the hearts of the young people to be soul winners, to get out and carry the gospel to others, to live right and clean and pure, to walk with God, to spend time in prayer. I mean, you have a Christian college, but you and go through the outside, but if the inside isn't right and on fire for God, I mean, you're not having revival. I thought, God, I may not be able to see a national revival, and I may not see a statewide revival. I'm not sure you may see a revival in the city, but God, you put Commonwealth Baptist College on my plate. That's not on your plate. Let me ask you something. What did God put on your plate? I want to, God challenged me, okay, you know, work for a revival there. I oversee RC buses, some of the 9 of our college bus routes and Sunday school classes that go with them. I'd like to see a revival on those routes. Now, I'd like to see a revival on all our bus routes in the church, and I'd like to see, but God put the C bus, those 9 buses on my plate. Challenged our bus workers yesterday morning. And, you know, I mean, one of them said, oh, we had a good day. Had 15, which everything we've been through and everything else going on, I mean, it was a decent day. I said, but it really isn't 15. Because I'm not comparing to what they had on the other route. I'm thinking how many lost people are out there. How many kids that need to hear the gospel. I'm not trying to outdo the guy on the next bus. I'm trying to reach the area God's given me. Challenge the bus captains. I mean, people can get saved in Lexington a lot of different ways. A lot of churches, somebody walk in, you walk in there and ask them how to get saved, they tell you how to get saved. But when you, and I mean, there's a lot of ways different people, But you look at the people, you drive your bus down their street, the best opportunity, the most likely chance they have of getting saved is your bus route. Why don't you pray for a revival on your bus route? That's what God put in on your plate. And I like to see a revival at our college. I like to see revival on bus route, Sunday school classes. This summer, I'm preaching with a tour group. Some, I'd like to see revival among the guys in the tour group. My wife and I and the fellows, while we're with them, and we're rotating preachers, and that's confusing for them, I'm sure. About the time they figure one of us out, they get the other one again. You're going to get a brand new one here for the last 2 weeks. But I ought to pray for, you know, what did God put on my plate? God said, we read 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And we take that and probably appropriately, I mean, it's addressed to the nation of Israel, talking about the nation of Israel. But what is your land? What did God put on your plate? I want to be a people, and I know I'm a person, and it's a plural and all that. I mean, I took English, I teach college, so. But I want to be a people that would say, God, give me revival in the land you've given me. I want to seek revival where I am. Why don't you pray that God would give you healing for your land in your Sunday school class? And, you know, some of you teach a Sunday school class, and Brother Ross was saying you aim for it as a big part of your week and you prepare for it. Pray for revival in your Sunday school class. And if you teach junior girls, you can't affect the teen department a whole lot. You can't do anything for the senior citizen ministry, but you could pray for revival in that group of six junior girls. Pray that God would work in their heart. Pray that God would give them a desire to read the Bible, to pray, and to grow in Him. Pray for revival in your Sunday school class. Pray for revival in your home. Say, God, this is my land. I will forgive their land. And God, I'm going to be a people, person. I'm going to be a people. This is the land you've given me. I want to see revival here where I am. I want you to move here in my Sunday school class, in my home, with my friend, on my bus route, in my neighborhood. And you know, some ways that's harder. Because if I pray for revival for America, or when I pray for revival for America, and I say, God, do something for our country, heal our nation, give us revival in this country. I mean, I get done praying, it's all I can do. I don't have anything to do. I'm done. But anyway, if I start praying for revival on my bus route, then when I get done praying, I got to do something. Doesn't make any sense to pray for revival on my bus route if I'm not going to spend some extra time visiting. Doesn't make any sense to pray for revival on my bus route if I'm not going to pray individually for those kids. Doesn't make any sense to pray for revival on my bus route if I'm not going to love them and work on it. You know, if I start praying for revival on my land, what God's put on my plate, then I got something to do about it. It's a whole lot easier to pray for revival for America or revival for the state of Indiana, revival for the state of Kentucky, because you can get up off your knees and say, done with that. What's on TV? How's my sports team doing? But if I start praying for revival for my Sunday school class or in my home or with my friend or on my bus route at our college, on, you know, when I look at what God's put on my plate, then when I get up off my knees, I've got to do something about it. Again, I'd like to challenge you all to pray for revival in your life. You know, if revival got going on one bus route, it'd be hard to keep it out of the other bus routes. If it got going on all the bus routes, it'd be hard to keep it out of the church. Got going in the teen department or the senior ministry. I mean, that kind of stuff is infectious. Got going with a choir. Got going with, the choir doesn't meet in the summer, found that out. But it, you know, it grows. And it's not my part to pray for, to try to, you know, I mean, I'm not pastor at Clay's Mill Baptist Church. That's not my job. But the direct oversight of the college is on my, under Brother Fugit's leadership, is on my plate. I ought to work on that. I ought to work on our C-Bus ministry. I ought to work on the tour group. I ought to work on what God has put on my plate. And you may not see national revival or statewide revival or citywide revival. If I started praying for revival on my street, Rollingdale Road in Lexington, Kentucky, if I started praying for revival in my life, my home, my street, well, the least I could do is take tracts and go to my neighbors and say, would you like to come to church? This is where I go. Again, you're praying for revival for America, you're done. But if you start praying for revival in your neighborhood, this is our tract, Clay's Mill Baptist Church. If I start praying for revival in my heart, my life, my neighborhood, where I live, what God's put on my plate, then the least I can do is take tracts and go knock on my neighbor's door, which I've done, and say, let me get, talk to one of them again yesterday. His dad just passed away. Open. More church says he's been, talked to him before, says he's saved. Don't have any reason to doubt that he is. Quoted John 3:16 to me once. But I, you know, talked to him again, said, man, you told me you've been watching our services online. Why don't you go to church? Why don't you come to church? I mean, you're going to pray for revival in your area, your land, your street, then you've got to do something about it. You ought to at least invite people to church. I'd like to see revival in your life. You ought to pray that God would give you revival there. If you're here this morning, you're saying, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not, if I died, I don't know where I'd go. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I would. You ought to settle that this morning. Pastor referenced that. There'll be people that'd be excited to share with you the gospel, and every one of us. I remember on my 22nd birthday, sitting down with M.A. Butler in a little snack shop in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and thinking, if I walk out of here and get hit by a car, I don't know where I'm going. For sure. Man, I kind of hope, think, want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure. And M.A. Butler, who's in heaven today, took the Bible, showed me out of the Bible how I could have it settled forever. One of the greatest days of my life. If you're not sure you're saved, you ought to settle it. I'd like to see a revival in holy living. You're going to get revival in your life, you're going to have to, you know, live right. Teenagers and all of us, you know, you got to watch your friends, you got to watch what influences you. All of us have temptations that you struggle and fight with. I mean, we all do. Bible says we're all tempted, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So either you fight it or you give in to it, one of the two. So I never struggle with temptation. I'm like, what do? Give in? I mean, I know you get tempted. But if I'm going to seek revival in my life, I'm going to have to start getting victory over that kind of stuff. I'm going to have to start spending time in my Bible. I need to have a prayer life. I need to be living clean. I need to be devoted to God. I ought to carry gospel tracts. I ought to be ready to give a witness to everyone that asks it. I ought to be involved in the ministry of the church. And again, challenge you this morning to seek revival in your life. God looks for people one by one. God says, I sought for a man that should stand above among them, stand in the gap in the hedge and so on. God looks for people one by one. You can decide to be that people. Whereas 2 Chronicles says, if my people say, I'll be a people. Person, I mean, I'll be a people. I'll humble myself and pray and seek your face. God, I'd like to see revival in my land. Can't control all of it. But I could seek revival on my bus route, in my Sunday school class, in my family, on my street, where I live. God, give me revival on what you put in what you put on my plate. Be the one that'll bring revival to your life. And I just decide, I mean, as far as that goes in preaching Bible college, God's looking for young men and young women that will say, God, I'll get trained, I'll bring revival, I'll start some little church like Brother Ross Sr. did here years ago, go to a cornfield somewhere and start a church. Take the gospel to a land here. Couldn't say this has been revival on that ministry. What a blessing to be in heaven looking down and seeing how God's continued to use this church. Amen. Young people, you do a lot worse with your life than saying, I'll work, bring revival to some little area. And all of us, we ought to seek revival in our own lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer. The heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if God's spoken to somebody's heart. You'd say it by the uplifted hand in a moment. Brother Jorgensen, I'm going to seek revival in my life, my Sunday school class, my bus route, my portion of a bus route, my part in the church, on my street, in my neighborhood. I'm going to give tracts to my neighbor. But God's spoken to your heart somewhere about seeing revival where you live. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? See several, many hands all over the auditorium. Keep them up a minute. You can put them down. A moment, I'll pray. But before I do, I wonder if there's somebody here that would say, Brother Jorgensen, I am not sure that I'd go to heaven when I die. I'm like you were that day. If I got hit by a car leaving here, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I would. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I would. Okay, let's stand with heads bowed. In a moment, I'll pray. And then after I pray, the pianist will begin to play. If God spoke to your heart and you raised your hand for prayer or should have but didn't, I invite you to come down and kneel here and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Help us for your word. Help each of us to seek revival in our lives, to seek to make a difference in the lives of others because we have revival in our hearts. Help us, we pray, to seek for that, to bring revival to the area you put on our plate, our little ministry, our part of the work, our street, our own lives. Pray if there are people here unsure of heaven that you'd help them to step out and trust you as Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.